back pain can keep you from living your life to its fullest potential. At the Back Pain Center at Gwinnett Medical Center, relief is in reach. Our team of experts will quickly diagnose your condition and determine the best course of treatment for you. Download your free copy of Understanding Back Pain at gwinnettmedicalcenter.org/backpain. Stop living with pain and get back to the things that matter most. This is Gwinnett Medical Center. This is now.
Blog Talk Radio.
General Quarters, Security Condition 3.
GQ, Security 3, sir. General Quarters 3, intruder alert. GQ 3, intruder alert.
He's doing a great job. He's doing a fantastic job. Good evening and welcome once again to Madam Perry Salon, and I am your host and cruise director, Madam Perry, also known as Jennifer Perry, and I am so happy to be here again. You know, I keep getting a lot of calls and messages and texts and so forth, and people are enjoying the show more and more and more, and no wonder. I've got such wonderful people that listen, send me suggestions, comments, also great guests. My gosh, recently we've had, who have we had that's been so popular? Rudy Sarzo, bass player and animal rights activist. Just talking about his book Off the Rails, which was about traveling with Blizzard of Oz, Ozzy Osbourne and Sharon. Rudy is fun. Frank DeVille Greenfield, who has produced and written with Timbaland, Usher, Beyonce, and he's now on tour with the Gap Band. DeVille, who knows, he calls in from time to time. He may drop in. Harvey J. K., who... Harvey's latest book is called The Fight for the Four Freedoms, and it's about FDR. His book before that was about Thomas Paine. And Harvey J. K. was so excited when he found out who tonight's guest is, because he's a big fan. And also Randy Blazak, who's the latest book, The Dream Police. Randy is director of the Hate Crimes Research Group and in Oregon. And he also has, he's already messaged in questions for tonight's guest. And coming up soon tomorrow night, Greg Dybeck, managing editor of Elite Daily and author of The Art of Living Other People's Lives. And then coming soon after that will be Adrian Ballou, Frenchie and the Punk, just all kinds of fun people. But tonight's guest, I've been seeing this guy live for longer than I may want to admit, but it's just so much fun. Some people know him mostly for playing bass. He plays guitar. He's a songwriter, producer, and just let's just head right in here. I am thrilled to welcome to Madam Perry Salon, Kazem Sultan. Kazem, come on in.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Madam.
Well, it's quite a pleasure, and I don't think I even warned you before you got here that, and some of the guests talk about this, that Madam Perry Salon, as author Robert Taylor said, looks like the inside of Jeannie's bottle. So just come to the beaded curtain.
With the cushions and the little mirrored tack on the curtains and the, and the haremish, the decor. Yeah, I love it.
Oh, okay, good. The Moroccan theme, yeah. Well, good. Yeah. Just find a nice cushion to sit down on. We had a couple of people come in recently. Actually, it was an author who's also an attorney out in Reno. I think he left a burrito, but we got that out. It's all been cleaned.
I'll make sure I don't sit on it.
That was Rick Cornell out in Reno, attorney Rick Cornell. So we just want you to know we're watching. We're watching for this.
Okay.
Yeah. So, welcome to Madam Perry Salon. We got a lot to talk about. You want to start with, you've got a brand new bootleg. Is the name of your new CD?
Yeah. I did some shows last year, and I decided that, rather than then wait another year or two or year and a half to come up with a brand new record. In the meantime, I would put out a little live CD.
Nice. And now you've been you're touring to promote this. You've just come back from UK, haven't you, or overseas?
I was I did some solo shows over in England in late November, early December of 2016. I wasn't necessarily promoting this particular live CD. I was just over there because I hadn't been there in a number of years, and I do have some fans there, and I love the UK, and I wanted to do some solo shows. Found a promoter that was willing to put some shows together for me, and yeah, went over and I did four shows. It was a lot of fun. I'm glad I did it, and looking forward to going back at some point this year, hopefully.
Oh, okay, good. And so, but you're also going through the U.S. right now, aren't you? Or about to head out on the road?
I actually am. I'm kind of never off the road. between my work with Todd Rundgren, and then I also work with Blue Oyster Cult. And people say, oh well, Blue Oyster Cult's on tour right now. Well, Blue Oyster Cult is never off tour.
Oh really?
They play about maybe like 45 weekends out of the year. So usually Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays are reserved for Blue Oyster Cult unless I'm on the road with Todd. And then in April, Blue Oyster Cult is taking a break, and there's no Todd work for me in April. So I have about five solo shows booked in April right now.
Wow. Okay. Can you tell us where they are
April,
right now?
Actually, April will be the promo for a promotional tour for the live record.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. And what cities can you give us a? We gotta get tickets.
Mostly the Northeast. Geez, I don't have the dates in front of me, and that's really terrible. But if you go to my Facebook page, they're on there. I'll be in New York on April 5th at the Iridium, and then
I love Iridium.
I think I'm at the place called the Vault on April 13th. That's in New Jersey, and then there's Daryl's House Club on April. Oh God, I don't know. I don't want to say the 9th. It's either the 9th or the 10th. That's terrible. I can't do that because it's really bad. Then people say, well, if he doesn't know what date it is, how am I supposed to know?
Don't worry. Don't worry. Your fans will look it up. But go ahead.
April 20th, I'm in New Hope, Pennsylvania, I think. Something like that.
All right. Yeah, you're right. I love the Iridium. Have you played there before?
I have played there, but not. I haven't done any solo shows there.
Okay. Yeah, that's a beautiful place, and yeah, I used to go there a lot. I used to work with a jazz singer, Anita O'Day.
Oh, I know who that is. She's great.
Yeah, and you know, I would work her merch table and stuff. She was so exciting. So yeah, okay, yeah. See the Iridium April 5th, Daryl's House April 9th. Yeah, you got those in there. Yeah, if people want to go ahead and get their tickets, and some people might have to get babysitters.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah. And yeah, people are already wanting to know if they can call now. Yes,
oh, cool.
You can. You can call in and talk to Chasm Sultan. The phone number here is 646-716-9922. And Blog Talk Radio assures me that is a toll-free number within the continental U.S. So,
great.
So call in, ask questions. I know you love him. I know you've got so many fans, and you were building a fan club before you got with so many bands. And one thing I posted on Facebook and so forth while promoting the show, because I put this all over Reddit, Pinterest, LinkedIn, everywhere I could, was there's a 3-minute video on YouTube, and it's the introduction. You're getting on stage with the Blue Oyster Cult, where they, every time they name a band that you're with, you know, like Joan Jett, and you do the bass for I Love Rock and Roll. And
That particular piece of kitsch was a little too much for me, especially because it was followed by a bass solo, and while I appreciate the nod to my long career, it was a little kitschy for me, and I every night I would kind of dread that portion of the show where that happened, because it was a little, you know, it was like my career boiled down to 3 minutes.
You know? No.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that whole thing started with Rudy Sarzo. You had mentioned Rudy Sarzo at the beginning of the introduction when you came on air.
Isn't he great? Yeah.
Rudy is the best. I love Rudy. He's a wonderful, wonderful guy. He's a real gentleman, and certainly a big animal activist, which is really cool.
Yeah.
He will agree with me that it wasn't something that he looked forward to every night. So because Rudy played with Whitesnake and Queensryche and Ozzy, I guess the guys in Blue Oyster Cult said, hey, you know, we should capitalize on that and introduce you as, you know, the bass player with all these bands, and now you're with us, and we'll do a little bit, you know, like maybe 20, 30 seconds of their most popular songs, the bands that you played with, and then you'll do a bass solo. And so Rudy, being the kind-hearted gentleman that he is, said, yeah, sure, absolutely, let's do that. And then it just carried over to, because I replaced Rudy in the band when Rudy had other stuff to do. And then it kind of carried over to me, and I was like, yeah, okay, I guess we can do that. Yeah, we could do a Meat Loaf song, and we could do a Todd song, and we could do a Joan Jett song. But yeah, it was a little too kitsch for me.
Yeah. Well, we're starting to, and by the way, and if you missed the number before, it's, you know, I didn't even ask you if you needed subtitles because I'm Southern, because I feel like you travel so much, you know, you would understand me, I'd understand you. But in case anyone didn't get the number, it's 646-716-9922. To talk to Kevin Sultan. And I've got a caller coming in. And just, and caller, stay with me 1 second. Yeah, well, that's a little difficult too, because you've played with so many people. Joan Jett, you were musical director for Meat Loaf, right?
Yeah.
You played with Hall and Oates, of course, Todd Runger,
yeah.
Utopia,
yeah.
Celine Dion. You played
in the
orchestra for the Twilight Tharp musical about Billy Joel music Billy Joel music,
yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
I mean,
yeah.
Everybody loves you. Everybody wants you.
Well,
everybody.
I know my mom does, so, you know, that's if you could start with your mom, then everything is cake from there.
Hey, some people can, so that's pretty good. All right, we're going to bring in the first caller, and I think I recognize the number. It's a friend of the show. Hi, welcome to Madame Perry Salon.
Hi, is this me?
Yes, it is. Come on in, say hello.
Oh, hi, Kazim. I'm Sam. Do you remember me from last year? Gave you a drawing?
Of course. Of course I remember you.
Great. Oh, I'm so happy I caught you. I'm currently riding home from school right now, and I had to catch you on my phone.
I'm
now,
so
wait
glad
a second.
You
are you Sam?
Huh?
Sam, are you the artist?
Yes.
Yeah, you are. You are a sweetheart. You're great. Yes,
thank
I remember you.
You. Okay. I wanted to ask you if you wanted me to draw you something special.
Of course. Of course. As a matter of fact, the caricature, because you do the caricatures, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your caricatures are so cool. And,
okay.
You know, we just played a show in New York, and I think one of your friends, Kat, came to the show. Yeah, she came to the show, and she gave me another caricature that she did, which was taken from the Norman C. photo session, I believe. And it was really nice, and I've actually already brought it to my favorite art store to get a frame for it.
Oh, I'm so glad. I got to see your pictures. We're both, like, ecstatic. And I think Kat's going to call later, too. But, yeah, I just want, if you want me to draw anything specific, you can tell me. I'll just, like, draw it and send it to you.
Okay. That would be great.
Well, this
I
is
would
wonderful.
Really love that.
All right, this is Sam.
Yes, Sam.
Sam, thank you so much for calling. I'm glad you called.
Okay, and my dad keeps bothering me to ask you if you're coming to Chicago anytime soon. And that's it.
I will be in Chicago. I'm looking at June to come to Chicago to do some solo shows.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yes, I'm totally going. I'm skipping school.
Yay!
Yay!
Thanks so much.
All right, Sam. All right. You take care. Be careful driving. Put the phone down. No texting.
Okay. No, I don't.
Yeah, be careful out there, Sam. All right.
Okay, thank you. Bye. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh,
that's a lovely call.
She's a lovely young lady. Yeah, it's great.
Oh, yeah. Okay, and we have another call here. Okay, I didn't recognize that number. We have another call here. Hi. Welcome to Madame Perry Salon. Come on in and talk with me and Kevin Sultan.
Well, hello there. How are you?
I'm well.
Hey, Ray
D'Africo.
Would that be musician Ray D'Africo of the Night Porters?
It is. I'm calling in again.
And Kathleen Turner Overdrive. This guy has the best band name, Kevin.
Kathleen Turner Overdrive? I love
it. Yeah, I coined that expression that, I don't know, we got a lot of mileage out of it.
That's really great. That's really great. A lot of times when I'm in a it just happened actually, just the other night, I was in an elevator and I had my bass guitar in a gig bag on my shoulder and somebody said, "What band do you play with?" And I always say the same thing, Fat Helen and the Chicken.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Throws them right off, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it totally throws them right off.
That's great.
The other one is, you look just like Chasm Sultan, and I say, you know, a lot of people say that.
I love that. Well, I'm a big fan, so I wanted to call in and just say hello. And you know, one of the first records I got when I was younger was the Raw record with Hiroshima on it,
and blew
my mind. I mean, I'm from Philadelphia, so I kind of grew up with Todd's music and stuff and got turned on to you guys and all that. And Love in Action is another great song, you know. There's so many of them, but I was just thrilled that you're on the show, that I could call in, you know, and just say hi.
Well,
so
thank you very, very much. I have to tell you that record, I've gotten more compliments from other musicians on that record than anything else I've ever done, and I think that's kind of the highest compliment that anyone could pay another musician, is that, you know, to have a peer come up to you and say that when I heard that record, or that record made a big influence on me, or had a big influence on me, that there's really nothing, no higher compliment than that, and I just, you know, it tickles me every time somebody says that to me. So thank you so much.
I was watching. I'm kind of a YouTube addict, and I got on there and was listening to it on there. And I haven't heard it, since I bought the vinyl years ago. And I forgot how out there it is. It's pretty wild, you know. So it was good to hear it. All that stuff sounds so fresh still, you know. It's like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, when we were making that record, of course, nobody had any idea that it would be as widely received by a very small group of people. But those people who did appreciate it and love it are you know, I mean, I wouldn't trade that for I can't really say that, but I wouldn't trade it for a million sales. a million
sales.
Right,
right.
But you know, but it's just it's just if somebody gave me the you know the option to say, well, you know, are you gonna make a record that's gonna be widely accepted and popular for 5 minutes, or are you gonna make a record that you know might not be mass appeal, but last for years and years and years? I would definitely
choose
the latter. Definitely.
Well, I've always been attracted to kind of quirky records. You know, like always, I'm a big Kinks fan, and I like that kind of just stuff that kind of falls through the cracks for a lot of people. But then some people, like you said, just fall in love with it. You know, it's like their favorite stuff. You know?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Ray,
I really appreciate you calling in.
Ray,
oh, sure thing. Yeah.
Ray, can I ask you, Ray, did you see the concert, the live concert for Raw?
I didn't make it. No, I'm sorry. I was trying to, and I just got caught up to another thing.
Because I remember the show at the Fox Theater. And,
really?
And Ray... Yeah, and Ray's a buddy of mine, so I want to keep you around just a few minutes in here. Ray's got his own cushion in here in Madame Perry's salon,
oh, cool.
If you notice.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Don't sit on the burrito.
Yeah, thank you.
So, because I remember seeing, I saw it at the Fox Theater, the concert, you know, and then the big pyramid and the whole thing. And I wanted to ask you, were so young when you started playing with Todd.
Mm-hmm.
And Utopia, and some of those watching back, and I'm like, Ray, you know, we both love YouTube, and it's like a playground, because you can find so much entertainment. And I look at some of those where, you know, you're so young, and sometimes you look like you're, it's just like every now and then you have this look like, what in the world are these people?
You mean like
just for a brief moment?
It was like a deer in the headlights, more or less.
So I wanted to know when you were so young, when you started playing with Todd, how did it seem to you to all of a sudden, you know, you'd be playing in front of a big crowd, you knew he's got such a rabid, like a cult following, and I don't mean rabid in a bad way, I mean rabid in a good way. The costumes in Raw, was a little iffy for you, or?
You know,
or
No, it's very funny that you should mention it, because the whole album had an Eastern Egyptian theme to it, and that was around the time when everybody was, you know, all about pyramid power and stuff like that. So so for whatever reasons, we kind of, you know, glommed on to that and decided, yeah, well, we're going to make an album and we're all going to dress up like in Egyptian garb. And so we went to, when we shot the album cover, we were in Los Angeles. And that was the Norman Thief photo session. And we went to Western Costumes that outfitted, you know, 90% of all movies made in the 50s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. In Los Angeles, and Todd kind of, you know, took the reins like he always does and said, okay, well, Willie, you're wearing this. Roger, you're wearing this. I'm going to wear this. And Todd and Kasim, you're going to wear this. And mine was a toga, which at the time I didn't see it as a toga. I saw it as a dress. And I remember calling my mother up after we picked out the costumes before we went to the photo shoot, and I said to my mother, because it was the first album that I was going to have my picture on. It wasn't the first album that I did, but it was the first album that I was going to be it was my personal band. And I remember crying, well, not crying, but kind of whining to my mom, I'm finally going to be on an album, and they're making me wear a dress.
That's like Reservoir Dogs. Like, why do I gotta be Mr. Pink? You know. Like,
yeah, I don't want to be Mr. Pink. why can't I be Mr. Brown? No, you're.
Yeah,
Mr.
exactly.
Pink. Well, why can't he be Mr. Pink? That's very good. That's a good analogy.
Yeah, that's what I thought of right away. I was like, wow, that's a Reservoir Dog.
Yeah,
no, I was actually too young. I thought that I see you the last time you played here. I was a little too young to make that show, but I remember really wanting to be there because it was in the paper, and, you know, they had the pictures, and I was like, that's the coolest thing ever, you know, and, so I missed, it was just like a year before my time when I was really going to shows, you know.
We certainly pushed the envelope on that, you know. The set was amazing. The pyramid was a 25-foot high, steel pyramid that Todd used to climb every night and then fall off of. Complete with water fountains and dragon fire coming out of the paws. We had this Chinese dragon that the crew used to put on that they used for Chinese parades. Chinese New Year parades. Yeah, and they used to put it, three or four crew members that would put this Chinese dragon on and then run across the stage while Roger battled them. This was during the solo section of the show where everybody had to take a solo. We carried a refrigerator around with us to freeze the glass guitar, which 9 times out of 10 came out in 2 pieces. And then Todd would toss it up.
And out of tune, right?
I'm sorry?
Did it make it be out of tune being in the refrigerator? I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Well, no. It was made of ice. It was a mold of a Stratocaster that, prior to the show, they would freeze water. And in the mold of a guitar with an actual truss rod in it to keep the neck on. And when it did work, Todd would take this ice guitar and toss it up in the air and to break the glass guitar, which was part of the song, the theme of the song. And 9 times out of 10, the truss rod that was in it, which is the thing that keeps the neck straight on the guitar, is a piece of metal. Mm-hmm. Would wind up sticking into the stage, head up like an arrow. And God forbid if it came down and hit anybody in the head, they would be impaled by this truss rod in this ice guitar. It was hilarious. It really was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's crazy. I kind of missed some of the theatrics that, you know, you got to do back then, you know what I mean? It's like you don't see bands doing that, you know. It's like,
not anymore. I mean, you don't see a lot of things anymore. But
they're less creative. They do stage shows, I guess, but it's more lighting stuff. They don't, you know.
Yeah. No, I don't think that. Like, if you look back, you know, you look like Alice Cooper tours or David Bowie tours or a lot of other bands. You know, they're. The whole show was centered around a theme or something like that, and the entire set was designed around a story, really. That doesn't happen any longer. It's kind of sad, that's just the way it is right now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Ray, were you going somewhere?
No, go ahead.
Okay, I mentioned earlier that Randy Blazak was on a recent show, and he's a good friend of Ray's. And he asked me to ask you, Chasm, did you feel that Utopia was one of the pioneers of music videos?
I think that Todd had a huge interest in branching out to the video world once it became affordable to buy your own cameras and buy your own editing machines. I don't know if we were pioneers in the video, in the creation of videos, because when you look back, I mean, everybody had music videos, so starting from Elvis. And mm-hmm. even before that, Jerry Lee Lewis and Chuck Berry and all the 50s, in the 50s and 60s, everybody did videos accompanying their singles or other songs or B-sides or whatever or what have you. But I think that that the 80s and certainly late 70s and 80s were a time when everybody was doing little mini movies to accompany new music. In that sense, Todd was certainly on the forefront of it. So in some ways, I guess he was a pioneer. And so by default, Utopia would, as one of Todd's projects besides his solo career and his production, mm-hmm. A lot of his time and energy was focused on Utopia and touring and making music videos with Utopia. So I guess you could say we were kind of pioneers in it.
Yeah, Randy had posted the video, Don't Film Me Now, and asked that. I'm not sure where he comes, but yeah. Okay, we have another caller coming into Madame Perry's Salon. Welcome to Madame Perry's Salon. Come on in and say hello.
Hi, Jennifer. This is Daryl Rhodes. How you doing?
Daryl Rhodes? How you doing?
Yes. Okay, I just wondered, when I was there last week, I left the capo for my ukulele, I think, and my hamster. Did you find them?
I don't know, Chasm.
I was sitting.
Ray?
I was sitting on something.
I felt something moving. I didn't know what it was, but you may want to check.
Well, yeah, my little hamster Donald, I like to call him. I thought I left him there. I haven't seen him in a while. But I wanted to ask Chasm a couple things. Were you with Meatloaf on the his tour when he toured on the first album?
No, I was not. I only played I played bass and sang backgrounds on Bat Outta Hell. But I did not go on the road with him on that first tour. I didn't start working with Meatloaf in his live band until 1992.
Oh, okay. Sonnenberg was his manager, and he did some work for me when I was we used to play up the Bitter End up there. And but I really love your stuff, man. I want to find out, has the digital world kind of made it more difficult to make a living as far as songwriting and that end of it for you?
Well, it's certainly, it certainly impacted the income stream, only because, it, 20 years ago, it used to be that you paid for music and your water was free. Now, these days, the opposite is true. You have to, your music is free, but you got to pay for water.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Let me introduce to Daryl. This is Daryl Rhodes. Daryl is right now, he's on tour. He's a stand-up comic, and he's been doing that for many years. And before that, Ray, Ray.
Yeah, Daryl and me actually worked together a long time ago with a bunch of local musicians, Rick Richards and Dan Baird. And it's kind of hard to believe we all worked in the same place at the same time. Brendan O'Brien, it was kind of crazy.
Brendan produced a couple of my albums.
Talking of good band names, Chasm, Daryl Rhodes, I remember some of his first band names were it was Daryl Rhodes and the Ha Ha Vishnu Orchestra and the Mighty Mighty Men Glad.
We're the band that Rolling Stone magazine said couldn't miss, and I proved them wrong, but we did what we did. That's what we did, man. But it was sort of Zappish, that kind of thing,
The best band you'll ever hear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I did all my recording after that. But anyway, I'm familiar with your work with Todd a pretty good bit. And I wanted, did you tour on the a cappella tour?
Yes, I was part of the a cappella tour.
Okay, because you played a little club called the Moonshadow in Atlanta back in, I'm going to say the 80s, I guess. And I was on stage when they did the bang a drum song. It would bring people out of the audience. And I remember getting on stage and playing. I was always a big fan of Todd and listened to just about everything he ever put out. But you're I think you're on the video also, and I'm trying to remember the song, but the Beatles, the album he put out that was sort of the Beatles thing.
Yes, that was the Utopia record, the Face of the Music.
Face of
God, great album.
Yeah, you guys
great
had
album.
The best covers, too, of album covers.
Great
like
covers.
Outstanding in Our Field and Oops, Wrong Planet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
Look, Oops,
all
Wrong Planet.
Stuff. It all tied in, yeah. So
hey,
go ahead.
Well, I don't want to take up any more of your time. I just wanted to call in and say hi, and I just appreciate your talent.
Thank you so much, Daryl. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Daryl. Where are you going to be this weekend? We can see you.
This weekend I'm off. Next week I got to fly up to. I'm working some casinos up in Milwaukee and some other weird places that I'll be in the tundra, I guess. And then I'm going to be out for about 4 or 5 weeks, going to the West Coast and doing a bunch of stuff out that way. So this week I did last week. I was in Virginia, and this week I just want to get well. I'm fighting this same bug that everybody's fighting, man. So I'm just trying to get better.
Okay. Well, I'm so glad you called, Daryl. You know, you're welcome to stay, but I've got another caller coming in, too. If you want to move over, welcome to Madame Perry's Salon. Come on in and say hello to Chasm Sultan.
Hi, this is Jeannie. How are you?
Hi, Jeannie.
I'm doing great.
I'm in South Carolina.
Well, good for you. Wonderful.
You've
and you might remember me, Kaz, from the 80s.
Okay.
Let's see, Joan Jett, Patti Smyth, Scandal.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess Georgia. I wasn't in Scandal.
No, you were just strictly with Patti Smyth at the time.
Yeah, well, that was Patti Smyth's solo tour that I did.
It was?
Yeah.
And did you have the music store then, Jeannie?
Yes. Yeah, Rock Bottom Music is in Augusta, Georgia.
So,
I bought you a beer.
In here to the salon tonight? Well, that was very sweet.
Yeah.
Did you bring one?
Absolutely.
So Jeannie says she remembers you from touring, I guess, from maybe visits the record store and taking you in a little tiny Honda Civic to the mall or something for lunch. I wasn't around.
It was actually a CRX, and we went across the Savannah River from Georgia into South Carolina. I think we went to the laundromat, too.
It was a long time ago. I'm sure I had some laundry to do.
Yeah, did you do your laundry there?
Actually, I think we picked yours up.
I believe I lost a sock somewhere in there. I'm missing a sock since 1987. So,
I think you left a G-string in the back of my car, too. But anyway,
I hope you're doing well.
I will not cop to that.
Okay, don't.
I hope you're doing well.
I'm well. I am well.
And your last solo CD was really good. I got a copy of that from you. I've enjoyed it.
So much. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I've always liked
your music.
Would you like to say, do you know Ray D'Africo here from the Nightboarders and Kathleen Turner Overdrive? See, Casma Party here at Madame Perry's Salon.
Right.
I don't think we know each other, but I am missing a sock, so
okay,
maybe, I don't know.
She owns Rock Bottom Music in Augusta.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Just look at it.
Go ahead.
I've played in Augusta once or twice, but that's about it. So I don't think we know each other, but.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, though.
Cool.
So Kathy,
I appreciate your music, and keep rocking.
Yeah,
thank you, Jeannie.
Kathy, where are you based out of now? Are you in New York or L.A.?
Yeah, New York City.
Okay. I was born in Queens, so.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not a very big place. There's a lot of people here, but it's not a very big place.
No, yeah. But I've been down here forever, so I'm, kind of crazy.
No, it's a beautiful, that's a beautiful part of the country. That North Carolina, South Carolina, that area, Georgia.
Yeah.
A lot of great music. A lot of great places to play.
Especially Steve Morris, who's out of Augusta, Georgia, if I may.
Steve Morris?
Oh yeah, he was originally from Augusta, Georgia. Wonderful guy.
He is a sweetheart.
Very talented.
Oh, okay. So then you know my friend Jerry Peek was, I think, the original bassist with the Steve Morse band. Do you know Jerry?
Yes, I do. Yeah, all the way
back
to the Dixie Grits, and yeah, back then. I've been around a while.
Who would like to hear some Chasm music right now?
I would.
I think we all do. Yeah.
I think so too. Okay, everybody, I'm gonna mute your mic so you can, you know. And we're gonna hear. And this song, Chasm, this song tears me apart. It's hard to play. It really gets to me every time I hear it. But we're gonna play.
Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible.
I know. It's
in a good way.
We need a good cry. Okay, this song is called Clock Fall Stop. Chasm Sultan, everybody.
Nothing is certain. One day, who knows? Maybe I'll fly to the moon. I drew back the curtain to start the show, but the crowd already left the room.
Oh, that just gets me. It really does.
Thank you very much.
Well, welcome back to Madame Perry's Salon. If you're listening, our guest here is Kazem Sultan, and my friend Ray D'Africo is in the house, in the bottle with us. Our friend Jeannie left, but we're glad she stopped
by. I'm here
by.
For the long run.
Pardon me?
I'm here for the long run. I'll hang.
Oh, Ray, I can always count on you. I can always count on you, Ray, to be in for the long run and whatever you commit to. Always.
Well, yes.
If you want to talk to Kazem, the number is 646-716-9922. You know, Kazem, you, I know you're a writer. Now, you and Ray are both songwriters, and I'm not. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, when you play with so many different bands, so much, like you say, you know, you're almost never off the road. When you start to write a song, is it difficult to get into a zone where you feel like you're not being influenced by anybody else you've been listening to or playing with night after night?
I don't know. I think you always gravitate to what you know best. For me, I don't know what it's like for Ray, but for me, I have a really difficult time writing something that I'm not, that doesn't speak to me on some core level, you know? So it always goes back to my initial influences, which are, you know, like Beatles, Led Zeppelin, Jeff Beck, The Small Faces, The Who, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's stuff I love, Small Faces and The Who. Actually, Steve Marriott's son Toby has been playing bass with me. He lives in town, and it's pretty bizarre because he looks and sounds just like his dad. Like,
oh, that's really special.
Yeah, I mean, he just has it. It's kind of bizarre, but he's a great guy. And
I think what it boils down to is you write what you know, not what you don't know. It's one thing to be able to play, you know, a Celine Dion song or for that matter, a Joan Jett song or a Blue Oyster Cult song. It's certainly another thing to try to write something like that. And for me, that's where I kind of draw the creative line, is trying to do something that that I'm not familiar with on an intrinsic level, I guess. I'm not trying to sound pompous or, you know, or
no,
heady
gotta,
or anything
like that.
It's
got to ring true to you, right? You know.
Yeah. So I always come back to my basic roots, which is just, you know, British pop. Certainly, some Americans or early American artists from the '60s and early '70s, but that's what I know. That's what I know how to do. And certainly, I've been I was extremely influenced by Todd because I started playing with him when I was 20 years old, and most of what I know about songwriting, record production, background arranging, and stuff like that, I learned from being around him, and that went a real long way in kind of shaping my musical abilities, I think.
Yeah, and he was influenced. I mean, the Nas was like a direct, like the American version of a lot of that stuff, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, Todd,
you might know more about that than me, but that's just my take.
Well, I think Todd was a big Laura Nero fan. He also was a big Move. He'd listened to the Move a lot.
Yeah.
And he was also a Beatles fan. So
Of course.
So all those people kind of shaped his the way that he writes, his chord changes, and his. But one thing about Todd that's just kind of undeniable is his lyrical sense and how he writes a lyric. And that to me is just, that's a gift that, you know, you can paint over it and you can try to write a really great lyric, try to turn a really great lyric. But Todd just sits down and, you know, in 20 minutes, you know, rattles off Love Is the Answer.
Right.
you know, it just amazes me to no end. But that's just who he is, you know.
Yeah, just flows out of him, right?
Yeah, just it really does. It really, really does.
Yeah. Go on, Ray.
I don't even know what I'm saying. It's your turn.
Okay. Yeah. How did you get with Todd in the first place? I know I've heard the story or read the story.
What happened? I was working at the time. This is 1976 in New York City. I was playing piano for Cherry Vanilla, who at the time was one of David Bowie's publicists. Worked with Main Man Records and Tony Zanetta and all the Bowie contingent. She was also part of the Andy Warhol cabal.
Oh, yeah.
And she fancied herself kind of an artist, a singer-songwriter. And I started playing piano with her. And through Cherry, I wound up getting introduced and hanging around with a pretty eclectic bunch of New York underground people, as well as people like Mick Ronson. I became really close with Mick and Susie Ronson. And then one of the other people was a guy by the name of Michael Kamen, who at the time had just finished working in a band called the New York Rock Ensemble, and was also playing with David Bowie at the time on the Diamond Dogs tour. And Michael kind of took me under his wing and befriended me and was teaching me some stuff on piano. And Michael was also a close friend of Roger Powell's, who was the keyboard player in the original Utopia with Todd, or one of the keyboard players anyway. And and so when John Siegler, who was the bass player with Todd at the time, decided that he was going to pursue other interests, he left a spot open for Todd. So Roger, not knowing very many musicians in the New York area, called Michael and said, "Do you have any recommendations for bass players? You know, we're auditioning." Then the story gets even a little bit more convoluted, because what had happened was I was sitting in my parents' house one night, and my buddy Tom Marangello, who was a very, very close friend of mine, a wonderful, wonderful guy and a guitar player as well as a guitar tech, had to take Earl Flick to the to the airport. Flick and I go back to, you know, I think I was about 10 or 11, and I used to go watch Earl Flick practice in GarageBand here on Staten Island. Marangello came over to my house, said, I have to drive Flick to the airport. Do you want to take the ride with me? Yes, I do. Okay, great. Hop in the van, go over about three blocks from my parents to where Earl Flick lives, and we walked into the front door to help him with his luggage, and he said, either one of you guys feel like playing with Todd Rundgren or playing bass for Todd Rundgren? And I said, and then Tom said, go ahead, Cass, you do it. I said, no, don't be ridiculous. Let's both do it. Let's both go audition. He said, no, I don't want to do it. You do it. So Flick said, okay, when we get to the airport, call Michael Kamen, tell him you're interested. He'll call Roger Powell and set up the audition for you. Well, that's what I did, and the next day I was on a Greyhound bus from Port Authority on 8th Avenue in New York up to Woodstock to rehearse for a couple of days with Roger and Willie, the drummer, Willie Wilcox. Todd was coming back from India. He was on a little tour of India by himself, just kind of mopeding around southern India. Came back and I auditioned, and I guess the rest is my history.
And think how your life changed, like just in that one day and that one call, and just it just seemed to set the course for your career. It's amazing.
In five, I mean, it was you know, in the span of 5 minutes, really.
Yeah. Yes.
That's so great that you guys did it together, though. That's like
yeah.
a New York thing.
But isn't that always how thin it always like, you know, just a bunch of happy accidents put together and the stars align and you find yourself someplace where you never thought you'd be.
Dan, that's absolute truth.
I
have another caller in here. Excuse me. So that's been waiting for about 5 minutes. Hi, welcome to Madame Perry Salon. Come on in and say hello.
Hey, thank you. Hi, so this is Catalina.
Hey.
I was at your show last week.
Hello, my dear.
Spirit of Harmony
How are
show.
You?
Hello,
yes,
I'm doing great.
Good. It's good to hear from
you. Yeah, I've been listening this whole time. It's been super great. Yeah.
I'm so glad you called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so one thing I really wanted to say is how important, like, Chasm's solo music and his music with Utopia is. I love how socially conscious, like, the lyrics are. And some of the themes that you guys are discussing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like, it's really, really good music.
Well, thank you very, very much.
Yeah.
Catalina. I really appreciate that. And you're a real sweetheart. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Catalina, where did you see mm-hmm. Chasm last week? Where did you see him?
He was at the Spirit of Harmony show. It was like a fundraiser, kind of like one night concert. Kind of like a benefit for Todd's Spirit of Harmony Foundation.
Oh, okay. And are you a musician, Kat?
I'm not a musician. I mean, I play a little piano as a hobby, but I'm mostly an artist.
She's a wonderful artist, actually. She's a really great caricaturist.
Okay, well, stay with the episode.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, you had to wait so long. I had to wait so long to get in, Kat. And
oh,
really
not at all.
Stay one more second. I've got another caller coming in here. I think this is coming from the Atlanta area.
That's my friend Ray. Hey, Ray.
Hey.
Hey. Who is this? Ray?
Yeah. Hi, this is Ray. Hi, Catalina.
No,
I'm
Ray. You can't be Ray.
No.
We got a Ray. No. We've got another Ray in here.
We can all be Ray.
Which
reminds
hi.
Hi, Ray. Welcome to Madame Perry Salon. I know you called to talk to Chasm Sultan, but I got to tell you, since you're Ray and Chasm, I forgot one more of Ray D'Africo's cool band names, and that is the Ray City Rollers. So
that was the first band I saw live, I think, and nobody could pronounce my last name right, so I was like, well, I just need to have another silly band name.
That's really
belated.
Cool. If I'm ever looking for a band name, I'm going to call you.
Yeah, I wanted to have a service like I'll name your band for $100.
Yeah,
you
there
know.
You go. You could have a little cottage industry.
Yeah, you know, it's like I seem to have a knack for it, but the problem was people started thinking we were a Bay City Rollers tribute band.
Oh well, that's a dangerous
problem.
It?
Yeah, I was like, no, it's kind of a joke. It's like, but anyway.
Okay, my other Ray. I haven't given the other Ray a chance to say hello yet.
Okay.
But you know everybody here, so.
Oh,
go ahead.
Seems like I do. I'm just going
to
say hey, and I'm really grateful for the music. I actually got to see you for the first time last year, back in February at a Todd show and later again at a Blue Oyster Cult show in October.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom followed me along to both of them, but I guess she's responsible for me being a fan in the first place. And everybody I know, it seems, who likes Todd, I'm responsible for them getting into it. So.
Well, you do me a favor. Give your mom a big kiss for me, okay? Thank you very much.
You've got a good mom.
Yeah.
You were raised right, as we say down here. You were raised right.
You know, and I got to tell you, I do a lot of concerts, and every so often I always make it a point, not every so often, but I always make it a point
to say hi to people afterwards or outside the backstage or just after the show.
Whenever I see a
father and son or a mother and daughter at the shows, that just makes me feel so good about parents that take their kids to shows and introduce them to music that they otherwise might not hear of, instead of listening to the Fifth Harmony or Rihanna or a bunch of other stuff that's kind of like here today, gone tomorrow. Even though I'm not trying to say that Rihanna's not a relevant artist.
Definitely. That's great.
But kids, kids that have parents that take them to shows and stuff, they're very, very lucky kids.
Yeah. I think their lives are much more enriched. I feel sorry for people who don't get out and hear live music or kids who don't get out to hear live music. I think that enhances their life so much. Mm-hmm. Now, before we go, I am going to play out the end another song. And just so you know, Kazem, I should have told you this before. I know when you're listening on the show, when we're doing this live on Blog Talk Radio, this song may not sound very good to you. But trust me, when the show is downloaded later, it won't sound that way. It'll be worse.
Okay.
So, but it's okay.
Okay.
No. Okay. No, it won't. But anyway, this has been so much fun with you, and you've been so kind to accept the invitation to Madame Perry Salon and so generous with your time. I do hope that you will come back sometime.
I would love to. It was a real fun hour, and I really thank you very, very much for having me on.
Well, it was great
to talk to you,
And Ray, you're a sweetheart. You're a sweetheart.
Thank
you.
Ray's my friend. He's definitely a great
person.
We'll
talk, man. I'll send you a Ray City Rollers CD, man.
I would love that. I really, really would. And you, and Ray, too, who called in, the second Ray, you're a
second
sweetheart,
Ray's
too.
Second Ray's still here. We got second Ray.
Yeah.
And Ray, you're in Atlanta. I'm an Atlanta girl, too. I'm there most of the time.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So, and thanks to Daryl Rhodes, musician and comic that called in earlier, and Jeannie Goodwin Caro of Rock Bottom Music in Augusta for calling in. And also Sam, who I think is your friend, Catalina. Sam called in, the artist. Thanks
indeed.
So very much. Ray City Rollers. This has been a. Am I the luckiest girl or what, Chasm, to have such a show with so many cool people gathered together?
Listen, I think that it speaks volumes about who you are and how you run your show, and your show is a lot of fun. And I only wish that if I had a podcast, it would be half as much fun as yours.
Oh, well, that's a very kind thing to say. And one day I'm going to find, and yes, you do talk to people, and one day I'm going to find the picture that I made with you at the Handlebar years ago. Lord only knows what that can be. Yeah, I hope so anyway. So you heard it here. He said he will come back to Madame Perry Salon. And I know Ray, Catalina, Sam, Ray, D'Africa.
Yeah, we come
back. Yeah, D'Africa. I have a permanent cushion here, so I just crash out.
You wake up when
next show is.
You have a permanent pillow in the bottle.
Yeah, I have a sleeping bag in the back of the van, So,
there you go.
And why not? We'll keep up on your Facebook and your. I'm sorry, Ray. We'll be keeping up because I don't want to wear out my welcome with Chasm.
I'll say goodbye. And it was very nice meeting you. And take care. And we'll talk later.
It was very nice meeting you, Ray. Thank you.
All right. Good
thank
luck.
You.
Thanks. Bye.
We'll be following your tour on your Facebook page. And thank you, Ray D'Africo. And Chasm Sultan, everybody, I think you're all wonderful. Thank you so much for making this a great night. And we'll all be seeing you all year long, Chasm. We'll all be showing up.
Thank you very, very, very much. It was a pleasure to be here.
It was a pleasure, not really. Okay, good night.
Hello?
There ain't no reason why you let me wait.
Progressive presents Mind Flowness with Flo.
Before you lies a beautiful meadow. In that meadow, Progressive Direct has placed its auto insurance rates alongside those of competitors. You select the lowest rate and feel a great sense of calm. A great sense of...
Compare Progressive Direct rates with competitors' rates so you can rest easy. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Back pain can keep you from living your life to its fullest potential. At the Back Pain Center at Gwinnett Medical Center, relief is in reach. Our team of experts will quickly diagnose your condition and determine the best course of treatment for you. Download your free copy of Understanding Back Pain at GwinnettMedicalCenter.org/backpain. Stop living with pain and get back to the things that matter most. This is Gwinnett Medical Center. This is now.